We continue our learning the Ilyanish Masnavi Ben Menachem Roshan Chan Yaakov Ben Pidechos Aliyah. We are in Ksuvos, Perek Yud, Mishnah Hey. Now in Mishnah Aleph in our Perek, in this 10th Perek, we learn the following. Misha haya nasui shtei nashim v'meis harishona kodemis l'shnia. We learn that if a person is married, a man's married to two women, and then he dies, so the first woman he was married to, she has precedence, has priority over the second one. Meaning, obviously the time of her ksuva, the date of the ksuva is a date that's earlier than the second, and therefore, regarding the collecting of the ksuva, she has the rights. So if there's only enough for one ksuva, she collects and the second woman does not. Armish is coming to teach us that with respect to a woman's din kedima of priority regarding the collecting of the ksuva, so the halacha is that she's supposed to swear to her friend, to the other wife, to the other almana who comes afterwards, that she has already not received her ksuva, because the second woman may be thinking, aha, you're going to collect the ksuva and there'll be no money left for me, and maybe you already collected the ksuva. So the first woman has to swear. Misha yanaso yaraba nashim vameis, says the Mishnah, man's married to four women, and the time of each ksuva is different. He passes away. Obviously, the first woman's ksuva has a date before the second woman's ksuva, and the second before the third, etc. And the four almanos widows come to collect the ksuva. Harishona kodemis l'shniya, ushniya l'shlishis, ushlishis l'revius. Obviously, the first one has priority over the second, and the second, if there's any money left in the estate to collect her ksuva, so she will collect, and then the third after the second, if there's something left, and the fourth after the third. Harishona nishbas l'shniya, meaning if the second woman says, he shavili shalog glog givis michel bali klum, swear to me that you did not collect shalog givis michel bali klum, that you haven't collected anything from my husband. She's afraid that maybe there'll be no nechasim, no property left for her ksuva after the first one collects. So she has the right to impose a shvua on the first woman, on the first almana, ushniya l'shlishis, and therefore the second one will swear to the third, because the third can impose a shvua on the second, ushlishis l'revius. Each one swears to the next one who comes afterwards that she has yet to collect her ksuva. V'haravis nifras shelo b'shvua, says the Tanakama, but the fourth one is allowed to collect without a shvua. Who does she need to swear to? After all, if there's no one who's making a claim against her. If there's any money left, the money obviously goes to her. Of course, though, the Mefarshim explained, let's say there's a Yoresh or a Baal Chov who would impose a shvua upon her, that's fine. If there's a creditor, there's someone who's supposed to inherit, sons who's supposed to inherit, they can impose a shvua upon her, that we know. But not one of the other women. Benana Somer, I disagree. V'chi mipnei shehi achrona niskara. She should gain, she should profit, because she's the last woman and collector ksuva without a shvua. Afilo tipara ela b'shvua. She also has to take a shvua. Now, what are we afraid of? So the Gemara explains that the friends are going to be impose a shvua upon her, the other three upon the fourth. Why? What are they afraid of? Because maybe one of the fields that one of them collected was really never belonged to the husband, and it's going to be confiscated by someone. Now, let's say the second woman. So that field that she collected as part of a ksuva, it's going to be taken away from her because it never really belonged to the husband. So she never had a right to that. That was not, she couldn't collect a ksuva from that. For whatever reason, the husband, it never belonged to him. So now, if the fourth woman collects her ksuva, the second woman is out. She gets nothing. So with the shvua, obviously, what we're going to say is the fourth one can only collect the ksuva with the shvua. She has to say, I haven't collected any of my ksuva yet. So then the second woman will be appeased, maybe a little bit, but she'll end up losing out. But at least she'll have a shvua that the fourth woman didn't collect anything. Had she collect part of it, maybe the second woman would get something back. At least from part of the estate, because the field that she received for her ksuva was taken away. So that is the Ben Anas' opinion. What does the Tanakhama hold? So the Tanakhama holds, You know, the fourth woman doesn't have to take a shvuah to anybody, let's say to the second woman. Why? Because if the field that the second woman, let's say, received for her ksuva is confiscated from her, she doesn't need no shvuahs at all. She goes to the fourth woman and says, sorry, I had priority over you, so I'm collecting my ksuva, the value of my ksuva, from what you have right now. So if that's the case, the fourth woman doesn't have to take any shvuah at all to the second woman. The second woman can come and collect from the fourth woman because the second woman had priority. Hayu yotzos kulan biyom echad, says the Mishnah. Let's say all the ksuvos of these four women married to this one man have the same date, then kolakodemes lechaverta afilu sha'achas zachsa, which means if the ksuva, let's say, had recorded in it the hour that it was written, so then we go by the hour. Whichever ksuva had the earlier hour that was written, so that that woman gets to collect. She has priority. V'kacha yukosim yushalayim shos. In fact, the Mishnah says that in Yushalayim, that was the minog, not only to write the date, but even to write the hour. Let's say hayukulan yotzos b'sha achas, or the ksuvos had the same time, not only the same date, vein shamel amane, there's only, let's say, 100 zuz in the whole ksuva, and obviously these four women have to divide, chokos b'shave, then they divide that equally. Perek yud Mishnah vav, misha yonasu shtei nashim, a man's married to two women, and their ksuvos have different dates. Umachares sadehu, what did he do? He sold one of his fields, which he should not have. It was mishuba to both of their ksuvos. There's a lien upon, as we've said many times, all of the property of the husband to in order to pay out his ksuva. So he sold this field he should not have. The only thing is, the field that he sold was only the value of one ksuva. So let's say, for example, you have these two women. Each one has the ksuva of $2,000. Each one has a ksuva, let's say, of $1,000. And the husband has this field that he had sold. And this field is worth $1,000. So what happened is, so now he sold this field. Two women are waiting for a ksuva, and the field is worth the value of one of their ksuvos. So the Mishnah here says, v'kosva rishona lalokeach, and it happens to be a case where the woman who has the earlier ksuva, who has priority regarding collecting her ksuva, she happened to have written to the lokeach, to the purchaser, to the one who bought the husband's field, should not have been buying it, but did anyway, and wrote, din u'devarim ein li'imach, meaning she was mevater. She was willing to forego her zechus, her privilege, her right to confiscate that from that sadeh from this person, the purchaser, for the purpose of collecting her ksuva. And now the baal passes away. So says the Mishnah, so there's only $1,000, the field is only $1,000. Each ksuva is $1,000. So now that the husband passes away, he has no money. The only money he has is in this estate that was sold, but that field that was sold could only be collected by the second woman. Let's say Leah was married first, had the earlier ksuva. Rachel had the later ksuva. So only Rachel is able to confiscate that. Hashniya motziya mehalokeach. She's able to do that because she's owed this field. She's owed a ksuva. The husband should not have sold that field. And she has the right to grab it, to seize it from the lukuchos. Leah cannot, because Leah wrote to the lokeach, dinu dvarim, no, I have nothing to do with it. If my husband ever passed away, I have nothing to do with that field. That field is going to belong to you. But what happens now that Rachel is able to seize the field for the payment of her ksuva? V'rishona min ashniya. Now Leah can come to Rachel and take the field and seize the field from her. Why? Because she has priority in collecting her ksuva. And her ksuva is $1,000. And the husband has no other money except this field. I'll say she wrote, dinu devarim, I have nothing to do with the purchaser. Yeah, that's the purchaser. She was willing to forego confiscating from him, from that person. But from the buyer, from the lokeach, but not from her, not from her tzara, not from the co-wife, not from the other wife. So v'rishona min hashniya. So therefore, she goes to the second wife, because she has priority, because she was not mochel her zechus. Leah was not mochel her right to take the field from Rachel. She only was mochel on her right to take it from the lokeach. Ah, so now what happens though? But v'hal, so now who has it? Now Leah has the field. Well, v'halokeach min harishona. Now the lokeach, the purchaser, comes back to Leah and says, "Hey, that's the field that you said you had no rights to, that you were willing to forego your rights to it. I'm coming to take it back." So the purchaser takes it back. V'chozeres chalila. And then we go around in circles, around and around and around. Because now Rachel can come and collect it from the lokeach. And now Leah takes it back from Rachel. And now lokeach says, "Well, Leah, you were willing to forego. I'm going to take it back." And it goes around in a circle. Ad sheyasu pshara b'neim. Till they come to some type of agreement, some type of compromise. V'chein balchov. And the same thing would be true, by the way, with the balchov, says the Mishnah. Let's say a balchov. You have a malve, and there are two purchasers. And the love had two fields that for which, and there was obviously a lien on those fields in order to pay back his loan. And he sold them to two different people. And each you don't have the two fields. You only have, in terms of the value, the share of the debt. That's all you have within the two fields. So, and not more. So the Malva wrote to the first lokeach, to the second lokeach, rather, dinu devarim ein liimach. I have nothing to do with you. I'm not going to seize anything from my loan from the field, any field that you buy. He spoke to the second lokeach about that. So what happens? So he's able to seize the field from the first lokeach because his chov is equal to the value of the two fields. And the lokeach rishon, what does he do? He now goes to the lokeach sheni, to the second person. And then the baal chov now goes to the lokeach rishon. And the lokeach sheni takes it away from the baal chov, from the malve. And it goes onward and goes in a circle until they make some type of pshara, some type of settlement, some type of compromise. So take the following understanding of the case of Baal Chov like this. You have a Lover, and he owed Malve 100 dinar, 100 zuz. So, and the Lover had two fields, two sados. So, and obviously there's a lien that's mortgaged to pay back the loan. And he sold those two fields, he sold to two lukuchos. And each field he sold for 50 zuz. So each field, you need both fields together to get the full Chov. All right, the Malve was willing to forego, right, wrote some type of waiver to the second lokeach, so he can still collect his debt from the first lokeach. Now, the first lokeach can't tell him, no, you go to the second lokeach. Why? Because both fields are necessary to pay off this debt. So, therefore, he goes to... So where does he go? He collects his debt from the first lokeach. So that's and he needs both. No, but that may be true regarding the malve, but the first lokeach is able to go now and seize the field from the second lokeach to compensate for the field that was taken away from him. Now where does the malve go? The malve now takes the field from the first lokeach. And the second lokeach takes it from the malve, because we know that the malve waived his right to the second lokeach. So, and then they go around in circles until they make a pshara. And then the Mishnah says, v'chein isha ba'al aschov. The same thing would be true, an isha ba'al aschov. What's a woman creditor where she's receiving her payment for a ksuva after her husband sold two fields to two lukuchos, and same like in the case of the baal chov. Neither field was enough to pay the whole ksuva. She wrote some type of waiver to the second lokeach, and therefore how does it work? If she wrote this, a waiver to the second lokeach, so if the woman wrote dinu devarim ein liimach to whom? To the second lokeach. So she's able to take the sadeh for the payment of a ksuv from the first lokeach. And then the lokeach harishon takes it from lokeach hasheni. And then the woman can take it from the lokeach harishon. And the sheni takes it from the woman. And the rishon and hasheni. And then chozen chalila until eventually they make some type of pshara.